Okay, even though it's Shabbos HaGadol and Pesach is looming, and of course we will certainly ponder points for Pesach as we get closer to Chag HaPesach, it's important for us to understand and get involved in Parashas Metzora. And so the Torah begins Parashas Metzora by telling us, V'lakach HaKohen, V'lakach LaMitaher, Shnei Tziporim Chayos Tahoros, the Kohen shall command and take for the one who's seeking purification two live birds. The Zohar HaKadosh explains that the birds are set aside each for a specific purpose, one for Lashon Hara and the other for Lashon HaTov. Now the question has to be raised, why would one need to bring a carbon on Lashon HaTov? So the author of the Shemen HaTov, Rabbi Bernard Weinberger Shalita, the former Rav of Williamsburg, explains that the lack of encouragement is also an error on our parts. That is to say, Lashon HaTov is there for encouragement, and when we don't encourage, it's part of the error that we make. The Chasam Sofer makes a similar point in regard to the commanding of the Chachmei Lev in Parashat Tetzaveh. The Torah says, Ve'ata Tetzavel Kol Chachmei Lev, right? Asher milei sivru achachma ve'asu espigdeika aron lekacho lechano. That you're supposed to speak, says the Chasam Sofer, to the Chachmei Lev, that Moshe was to tell them, milei sivru achachma. What was he supposed to say? He was supposed to daber. You're supposed to tell them, milei sivru achachma. I filled you with ruach achachma. God gave you the ability and the capability. And so therefore you guys should be encouraged to know you can build the Mishkan. Lashon HaTov on top of the Lashon Hara. And then the Torah continues and says that among the carbon, the parts of the Torah process include a Shni Tolas. What's a Shni Tolas? So on a literal sense, this is a reference to a crimson silk. And the Chida tells the story of a certain philosopher who once explained to the Chida that the reason why we ride on horses and cows is that in the food chain, horses and cows are food for people. So riding on them is a sign of human domination over the horse and the cow. So the Chida supposedly retorted that based on that argument, human beings are worm food. And so accordingly, we should have worms walking on top of our shoulders. So the Chida explained that that's taka true. A life without Hashem in it is indeed a shnid betolas. If your whole focus in life is to be godless and not God-fearing, then the message is shni tolas. You're second to the worms. And that's something that a human has to be aware of. And so that's the message to the Metzora in the Torah process. We hope you've learned your lesson, or you will wind up shni betolas. Torah goes on to include the fact quite a bit about the kapara of the Metzora. And one of the things that he has to do is v'chiper al tumaso, that he's supposed to atone for his tumah. Now, what kind of kapara is needed on the tumah itself, the Torah says in Perek Yudalad Pasuk Yutes. What kind of kapara is there? So, the late great Chevron Rosh Hashiva, Reb Simcha Zissel Brody, Zechad Tzadok Livracha, explained that the Metzora's physical and social suffering is quite immense. It's understandable that therefore, the Metzora in the midst of his pain and his bedidus, his being alone, it makes sense that he would contemplate Hashem and Hashem's midos. And as a result, he might even challenge Hashem in the process. And so therefore, a kapara al tumaso is offered. The kapara for the tuma itself, in addition to the kapara to the rest of the process that led to tzaras. Sometimes even in the midst of the pain, people do things and think things that aren't exactly the right way to go, and by having an awareness that there is a purpose and coming around to seeing the light, that's the message that the Torah wants the Metzora to have, even within his kapar. He should come out of the entire process completely shalem, completely complete. Torah tells us, v'indalu v'inyado maseges, if he's poor and he can't afford the karbanos. So the Torah's calling him the Medrash Halacha on Parashas Metzora. The Toras Kohanim explains that there are two terms that describe poor people. There's a concept of dal, and then there's the concept of ani. There are two different ideas. And the difference is, what can the person afford? The person who lost all money, but hasn't lost all his money, is still obligated to bring the expensive karbanos here, if it's feasible, even though it's difficult. And why? So the Torah is teaching us a valuable lesson. Despite the fact that the person is financially strapped, and normally the Torah wants the person to have a bit of respite, here we want us to the person to understand that it was his actions that led to the tzaras, and so therefore they require him to step up to the plate and take responsibility for them. In other words, he has a responsibility to understand that, yeah, it was a little, it's going to be a little bit tough for him, and despite it, we want him to understand and step up and take the responsibility for them. After the Torah describes the tzaras of the body as it has for Parshas Tazria and then well into Mitzorah, the Torah tells us that Kisavo al Eretz Kenan, when you come into Eretz Kenan, Minasati nega tzaras beveis Eretz Achuzaschem. I'm going to place a nega tzaras in your house. And Rashi notes that this is a promise, that there will be a time where Bnei Yisrael will find tzaras in the home in order to demonstrate that there was hidden wealth in the walls. Question has to be raised, what? Of all the things in the world that Hashem could use, why does he want to use tzaras? Couldn't Hashem find a different sign to show that he wanted to give the people of Canaan wealth? So Rabbi Shlomo Einhorn, the great Talmud Chacham, young man who lives in California, one of the wonderful people that I learned in yeshiva at the same time that I did, Rabbi Einhorn, who's a brilliant mindset person, once pointed out that that walls in life have a dual purpose. They protect the person who's inside them, but they're also a barrier from the outside, where it shows us that we can't go any further than a particular point. So Rabbi Einhorn suggested that the same thing is true of wealth. Wealth can serve to protect an individual who has it, but the drive towards wealth shows somebody how far, where the limits are that one can go in order to achieve it. At the same time, wealth is often used to sin. And so therefore one needs to be careful to make sure how to use wealth properly, or it too can lead to a nega tzaras, a sign of sin. The Torah goes on to describe part of the Tara process for the Zav and the Zava and the Yoledes and the Asher Teitzei Menu Shechvazera. And constantly the Torah uses the example of Rachatz Bisaro Bamayim Perek Tesva Pasakei. The Torah tells us that he should wash in and Mayim. The Mashgiach of Karen Biavner of Rivlin Shalita points out that the concept of a mikvah is very, very linked to the concept of rebirth. And there is an eye towards Tara as the goal. He quoted Rav Goldbach Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva, and the founder of the Hesder movement, who noted that mikvah sheds the chesed of Tuma, the world of desire, for what Rav Goldbach Zatzal used to call the chesed of Tara. A person has to totally be at one with one experience, leaving go of the entire other experience. And so therefore, Rav Rivlin and Rav Goldbach would often point out to us that there can be no chatzitza, there can be no impediment. The entire body has to be at one with this change from chesed de tuma, the chesed that was similar to the process of chesed hu, when you have a person who is licentious, right, to the chesed of Tara. The change has to be complete and at one, a rebirth. And the same thing is true when a person becomes Torah. He has to shed the first step and go towards the second. Finally, when we deal with the Zava, part of the process of the Zava Gedola is V'safra Allah Shivas Yamim. She has to count for herself 7 days. And the question has to be raised, does she have to count those days out loud? So Mori V'Rabbi, Rabbi Shachter Shalita explained that perhaps even Tosis might agree that the Zava doesn't have to count out 7 days out loud, but still, Tosis and Ksubis on Daf Ayin Beis seems to be of the opinion that the count might have had a bracha similar to that of Sfiras HaOmer. Now how can a bracha ever be recited on a cognition, on a thought, that has no action associated with it? So Rav Shachter suggested in the name of his Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal that perhaps the count is a means of allowing a bedika, right? In other words, since a bedika is an action, then the bedika itself can have a bracha immediately prior to the concrete action. It is a bedika, and that's why Tosis entertains the possibility of the fact that a person could have the responsibility to make a bracha and count these days very set. The bracha would be on the action of the bedika, and then one would not even have to count the days out loud. That's the suggestion that Tosus entertains as a possibility, as a haba amina, in regard to the counting of the nida. Finally, of the zava. Finally, this week we are going to lane Parshas Shabbos HaGadol, and the Haftorah therefore comes from the very end of Malachi, with the famous statement that Malachi makes at the end of all of Sifrei Nevi'im, where he says that the job of Eliyahu HaNavi on the day before the Yom HaGadol VaHanora, where he comes to do the job of the Heshev Lev Avos Al Banim, to return the hearts of the fathers to the children, Velev Banim Al Avosam, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So Rav Pam Zatzal noted that for centuries it was the children who left the parents in the tradition that the parents offered. But, said Rav Pam Zatzal, our generation sees the opposite. Children who leave their parents' commitment to a secular life for a life of tshuva. And says Rav Pam, one could never have imagined to that. It's similar to the Chag HaPesach, whereby one could never have imagined the change from bondage to freedom. This was the reality that everyone had. And it's something that all of a sudden became a new reality. And Emir Tzashem, in our lifetime, hopefully we will carry that reality further. Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the opportunity to experience not only the geula of the past as we enter our Chag HaPesach, but the geula of the future as well. Shabbat Shalom to all.